Oh,
But
hello. We will see you in a couple minutes. Peace.
Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to the Beyond the Tinfoil Hat, a podcast by the Experiencer Support Association. I'm your host, Jamie Delzell, and I want you to join us for a trip down another rabbit hole where we find all kinds of unusual and unexplained phenomena. Remember, the first 30 minutes of the show is absolutely free and available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Head over to Patreon and catch 30 minutes and beyond of extra audio as we dive even further into today's topics, exclusively for our subscribed fans with top secret clearance. Now let's dive right in.
In the nick of time.
Nice. Look at that.
Look
Jason,
at
what's
that.
Going on?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We can't hear you. We can't hear you, bud.
See, this is how my day's going.
Hey.
See, can you hear me now?
There
yeah.
We go. Yeah, yeah.
Got the focus right. I forgot to add the power to my mic, so yeah.
That's okay. You got the best mic out of all of us.
All right. So, yeah, without any further ado, Jason is here with us today. Ryan, you can give a little intro. I'm excited because we got into the intro and you weren't there. We came back and you were here. So excited.
The timing was perfect, right?
Absolutely yeah, perfect.
Planned it. And yeah, your introduction is everything. So, yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. This is awesome. I've not had a podcast or a vidcast yet that included more than just two people. So this is my first time. So hey, congratulations. Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks. So I'm just going to quickly
read. It's my
the,
first
read...
threesome, guys. It's my first threesome.
Oh, okay. Well, we've had many, so we'll
okay,
be gentle.
Good. Okay, your experience. Good.
So I'm going to quickly read your bio out here. So Jason is a MUFON Canada field investigator from British Columbia. And he has a podcast, and his podcast was created with the idea of collecting knowledge from the best investigators in the world to teach him and a new generation of field investigators the proper way of handling any case. So I did, I was a guest on his a podcast, UAP Studies podcast, and tonight we're returning the favor by bringing him on here to shoot the shit and talk UFOs.
Hey, I'm happy to do it. This is awesome.
Right. Super stoked to have you, man. Like Ryan said that you were coming on as a guest, and to be honest, I didn't really know a lot about you, so I'm really excited to hear a bit. I know that there's some ties between you guys and MUFON. I don't know if you guys were ever in together.
No, we actually missed each other. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, I started it was this year. This year was the year that I kicked myself in the butt and I said, I'm doing it. This is the year that I'm going to join MUFON. And when I looked into who was investigating UFOs in my area, there was nobody. And I kept thinking, well, there's got to be somebody. There wasn't. And at some point, you got to say, somebody's got to do it. And I'm not saying that I said, yo, I'm going to do it like Superman, but I thought, why not? This stuff is stuff that you can learn as you go along. And if nobody else is doing it, it's not like there's much peer pressure on my end over here, right? But I thought, I'd rather learn from the people that have done this for such a long time. And if I could, what if I could record that and then share it with other people that are trying to learn to do the same thing? It may be a remote area. Let's say you live, in Nunavut and you want to start investigating UFO activity there. Well, how do you do that? There's nobody local. But if you have a podcast that could at least touch on every single type of subject in ufology to give you at least a base understanding of how to proceed in an investigation like that. That would just be a great tool, a great asset for anybody in ufology. So that was the idea behind the podcast.
Nice.
I think it was a great, absolutely great idea, great concept. I enjoyed being on the show and the fact that you as an independent investigator pulling knowledge from all over the place too helps sharpen your tools and it helps you connect everybody together because it is a global phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah. And for
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for far too long, the ego that's been going on in ufology, there's a lot of egos now involved in, and that's a big problem. And I thought, you know, that's the point of the podcast, is I don't care if anybody has feuds or egos, whatever, learn from everybody. Mm-hmm. And start, like, if we all communicated together, branched out more often, and stopped fighting amongst ourselves, we mm-hmm. probably would get a lot further along than we are. It's innate in us as humans to have conflicts, different ideas, call somebody else an idiot because maybe their concept is, you know, a little bit different than yours. But at this point, I think they're all the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like my camera was unplugged. Hang on 2 seconds.
Today's just a day for, like, technical difficulties.
It's, oh, yeah, man. Just, yeah.
Right before you got on, my my whole computer just decided not to work. So I'm on my phone without my mic. So hopefully it sounds okay. But, yeah, just absolute chaos with technology tonight.
You know, that's just my luck. Hang on 2 seconds. I'm going to try to do a switcheroo on my plugs.
Switcheroo. So
I'm trying to read the comments at the same time, and I can't.
Yeah. So Lisa says hello. We got a hello from Philip Blair on YouTube, and Jason's back. There he is.
I'm back.
Good.
I was never really gone.
so that's awesome. So you got into MUFON this year. I love that the like you said, the concept of getting help from other people and doing that, because you're right, there does seem to be a lot of egos in this, and a lot of people just, like, picking up and thinking they can do it on their own and just not wanting yeah. help. And
yeah. knows, which is idiotic, because you're not going to progress. You're not going to learn. If you want to be a good athlete, or even go to university or study, like, you know, detectives in police mm-hmm. departments, they have to study. They have to pass exams. Should be the same if we're trying to do this. I know that the field is quite broad. The spectrum is quite large. But if we have a base understanding, at least in every different department, then you can maybe specialize in something. I would like to specialize in the abduction phenomenon. Right. I think that's probably the closest thing to the entities as you can possibly get mm-hmm. is the people that are being taken. You know they're coming for them. Mm-hmm. So that's to me, that's the focus. That's where I would like to focus later on. As of late on the podcast, I've been having a lot of people that have been investigators like you guys, but have been experiencers as well. So they've talked about their experience being taken by these entities and what that represents for people in their lives. Like, what does that do? That totally shatters your world. Your reality comes undone. And that's why I feel for those people. Because how do you go on every day going back to work at, you know, Canadian Tire in the sales department when you have this little secret that's going on, and, like, who do you tell, right?
Yeah.
Who do you talk mm-hmm. to? Mm-hmm. People like yourselves, Tessa, would be a good starting point for sure.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you're doing that. And that's, I mean, we're all kind of in the same boat here with that. Like you said, hopefully people start to realize that, you know, there is a place for people to get mm-hmm. that out. And we are starting to get a lot more experiencers. And shout out to Lisa. We had some problems last week, so we're getting her lined up to be on the show soon. So thank you, Lisa, for your patience. We'll figure that out. But yeah, we got a lot of experiencers that are coming out and sharing their stories. And hopefully the goal is to open it up mm-hmm. so people aren't ashamed about it and aren't afraid to talk about it, and they can get mm-hmm. it out there, and we can all learn from it as well.
I've actually learned a lot more from working with experiencers than I ever have working on the UFO cases in my entire 5 years with MUFON.
Right.
So you're right, like, on par. So if you want to get into that in the future, like, you should get on that right now. Like, 'cause the abductions, the events, the stories, the adventures that these people go on, there's details, you know, that can't be photographed. They have to be
details on the inside, right? Yeah. Like, we keep seeing these things on the outside. These guys have been mm-hmm. inside these things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they tell you, like, they made me, do a control thing, or I was flying the ship with my thoughts. That just goes to show you how these things fly. That's mm-hmm. a detail that we're not going to get from the government. That has to come from somebody who's actually had that experience. If we stop mocking these people and start paying attention and start seeing there's a thread, like, oh, you know what? They mentioned this detail and they've never met each other, but yet they've had the exact same detail. Mm-hmm. That shows you there's a thread of truth in what these people are saying. And like I said, even in this area of the world, there's a lot, everybody's global are being taken. Seems to be selective groups. There's one-offs, as we call them. You know, the you're driving home from a lake or something, and then you get taken, but that never happens to you again. Those seems to be the more traumatic ones that people tend to. They can't cope with it because it's not a reoccurring thing. They haven't grown to, you know, accept it yet. Mm-hmm. I find those people are probably the hardest ones to talk to. You're never going to get closure. But somebody who's repeating experiences. Those are the ones that I'm interested in. It's like, why them? What is it specifically about this person that draws them to come back for that person time and time again? From, you know, being little to being old, these people have these experiences their entire lives. So it's like they're monitored their entire lives. And that's a different concept. That changes reality a bit. Saying, okay, well, is free will really there? Am I being monitored? Like, do they know everything you do? And just, it's a weird spectrum. It's a weird branch of philosophy as well, because you have to think about the philosophy, the implications that means if the abduction phenomenon is true. Like, it's going to change everything.
The bottom line, I wrote an article when I was in MUFON, one of the MUFON journals. It was contrasting shadow figures and extraterrestrial beings. So what I try to specialize in, I specialize in abductions as well, but what I'm trying to do is showcase a similarity between the shadow figure paranormal aspect versus the alien aspect, and try to blend them to show that they may be the same thing, or if not one phenomenon before or after. So through my research, I've come to the conclusion that it doesn't matter if it's a ghost or if it's an alien or if it's a government official. People are being taken against their own will, and it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
So the phenomena is real. The culprit is yet to be determined, as far as I'm concerned.
And it doesn't matter where you live either. I mean, when I was a kid and I used to read up on this stuff, because I mean, I've been following this since I was a kid. But whenever I would read on this stuff, like Bud Hopkins had that famous case that was also, I wouldn't say vindicated, but it was confirmed by some of the diplomats that have witnessed this, where a woman in a high rise in New York, a saucer came down and took her out of her apartment. And she was like on the 18th floor or something like that. But there was a diplomat from another country with two of his guards in the limo, and he saw it. They witnessed it. And the next day, the two men in the limo had to go and speak to her and told her what they saw. So Bud had always made a big case of it. And it is a big case, because this was actually people followed through with what they saw somebody else get taken. So it's not them having that experience, but they witnessed it. I think there's other witnesses out there that you don't necessarily have to have been taken yourself, but what if you witness your sister when you were a kid get taken from the bedroom, right? There's tons of people that have these buried thoughts or memories, or they don't think about it till later when they're adults and thinking, well, how weird is that? Once they have more of a concept of what reality is, according to us as grownups, but you start thinking about this stuff as a kid and you're like, well, did it really happen? And you just never talked about it, so you never do. And people go to their graves dying with this sort of stuff. And I think it's a subject it's been taboo too long, but it needs to be brought out. There's billions of us on this planet, and there's probably millions of us going through this experience. It's enough to validate solid investigation, like Tessa, like what you guys are doing. It warrants it.
Yeah, 100% agree, man. And so you've been into this, like you said, from a young age. What was it that intrigued you and got you kind of started?
So far, there's been three incidences. Well, the two of my childhood, the one that my twin brother recently told me, and I totally forgot about, but we had just moved out here on a farm. It was a dilapidated house, but we were supposed to move in and start fixing it and all that. Of course, we never did. We never stayed past, I think, 3 months. We're playing behind the barn, and there's a highway very close to the field where we're at. So it's very populated. He says directly above us as we're playing, it's just a black circle just directly above us, just not too far. And it freaked us out. So we ran back home. That didn't stick in my mind as being odd. But the one that to me really spoke volumes was at the age of, I was about 13, 1994 or so, coming back home from a friend's house. And this time we had moved across country to Quebec. We're in a small town called Cadillac. And the area where we're walking is an old skating rink. And, there's power around this place. And our house was on the street after the skating rink. All of a sudden, as we're talking, we're inside the gravel area where the skating rink area is, and everything illuminates red. I mean, every rock, every hair on my arms, everything. Just blindingly so. I quickly looked up to see if it was a transformer that had blown up, and it wasn't. It was a craft that was about maybe 90 feet above our heads, about the size of a school bus. Its light was like a perfect beam. Like there was no, if you flash a flashlight, you're going to have light pollution on the side. This thing didn't have that. It was just perfect. And it was that beam, that red beam, went as it flew over us. It lit us in this. I mean, it caught us off guard. We never saw it coming. It came at us from behind. So that to me speaks volumes. It's not seen at a distance. It's, the freaking bugger flew behind me. This whole beam, whatever the heck they were looking for, it's a gold mine area. So I thought that was curious. Later on, as I found out that they sort of always look for minerals or something like that too. But haven't seen this, and this thing flew silently. Never made a bloody freaking sound. And the image to me that sticks in my mind the most is as it flew above the trees after it passed the street where we lived on. It flew above the trees into the forest, and every tree was lit up red, every branch, everything as it went above. It just lit that forest up. And that changed my whole world. That from dead on, I said, it doesn't matter what people tell me. This stuff is true. It was solidified. When you see something like that close, and not only that, but I mean, I don't even know what category you would put that in, Ryan, but it lit my brother and I, right? It with bang, like it was a hell of a light by the time it hit us. So that to me was like, holy crap. It's not just, that I seen it. I was underneath it. There was an effect of that light. So that solidified it for me. From that day on, I said, I don't care if people laugh at me when I tell them. It's the truth. It's my reality. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Jude.
Hey, of course.
Like UAP would be the best because it's unidentified, it's in the air, and it's a phenomenon. Like, I mean, that's just simply, I've never heard of anything like that. And having it that close, that's like contact within 500 feet. I see, that's close encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you seen anything else like that, similar to that, since you've seen that, even in investigating other reports?
No, well, the only other... I've not find like or looked into anybody else who got basically that same experience. I've heard about the beam quite a bit. You heard that, like the Ranshaw experience in England, stuff like that. The beam, which just is perfectly cut. You hear that quite a bit. But one where it flew above somebody and lit them as it, 90 feet. I'm guessing was 90 feet. That thing could have been further than that. But no, I haven't found anything similar to that, to my experience, but I'm sure people have had it, I'm sure that's going to come out of the woodworks eventually. Mm-hmm. Or at least in that town. I would like, I know one person in that town, which is a small town. My father knew him, that claimed to have been abducted by UFOs multiple times. And he's from that city. And at first, I would say, okay, maybe he's a quack because he's got other issues going on. But after seeing that, I'm like, I can't dismiss it altogether. I mean, what he described and kind of what my brother and I saw, and it was my twin brother and I, it pretty much is about the same thing. So, yeah, I can't dismiss his claim now. And that's a problem. If somebody even has some mental issues, they might still be right about that. Not necessarily always dismiss them as being crazy, depending on the details they tell you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they hadn't had that experience. Maybe that's what made them crazy to begin with.
That's what I was about to say. Because you know how much that could mess you up, right? Even your experience, right? Like, and imagine being taken and like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely can mess with you.
When I started researching, I was like, loss of time. I'm like, I don't think my brother and I had any loss of time. But I remember that flash being so much so that for a moment, I didn't know what was happening. I thought it was too bright or whatever, right? I don't think any point in time that we were taken. I think it literally just was flying above us, and we just happened to be in its path. The only other incident that I've had since then was on December 31st, 2013, driving back home, about 9 o'clock at night. It's a good stretch road where I live, and is a farmland. And again, the same highway where that craft was when I was younger, exact same location. And people keep seeing orbs there. They keep seeing these green balls that are flying into the mountain. It's really weird, but the area that I'm at is very active. And there was these three balls of light that were flying in the sky, and they weren't really in formation, but they were following each other. And all of a sudden, the top light, the ball that was at the top, just dropped down right behind the mountain. And there's houses behind the mountain. I know that. The two other lights joined together and stayed there and then faded out. I don't think they disappeared. I just think they just dimmed the light spectrum that we can see. I think they have the ability to do that. And that blew my mind. I stopped on the side of the road. I got out of the vehicle. I stood in the field and I was telling my wife, go into record mode. Because if you acknowledge it as you see it, you say, record this, it's legitimate. It happened. You know that you can trust that. She still had a hard time wrapping her head around what we had seen, but I remember the panic in her voice. What is that? What is that? And that's what drew my attention when I saw how bright those lights were and flying right above the freaking highway. There's no way those are helicopters, not in my region. And the fact they were so silent, the way they just flew down as if, it doesn't need propulsion in any shape, way, or form. That was the moment for me that created a crisis, though, because I was a churchgoer. I was the guy on stage singing the songs. Okay. And I've had all these experiences that I said, that doesn't involve God in any shape or form. I've never seen God. I've seen UFOs, I've experienced that. And that started creating a turmoil inside of me. And for 2 years, I fought it. I started losing my faith, but lean more towards investigating UFOs. And I thought this is the point that I'm at now at my life is like, I need to devote at least a portion of my life to this, to feel like I've contributed somehow. Not only for myself to sort of like, chase, what is this? Cause it's fun. Let's admit it. It's fun until it won't be. Who knows, the big day, the big disclosure, the big reveal, that might suck, but for now it's fun.
We still got to deal with the people, the people who, who realize that it's real too. So like this doesn't end with disclosure. It just only begins.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, even if they were to disclose, what, these things are real. These things come and go. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, that sucks, because that means that people are still being taken and there's absolutely nothing that your government could do about it. That's where the panic would spread, right? Yeah. And I understand that. There's a guest that I just had on, Barry Gaunt from Kentucky, and he's an experiencer as well. And he's had the podcast will be released by tomorrow, but he's had people. He's an investigator. He's like Ryan. He's boots on the ground. He wants to go see the sites and get the evidence, but he's been followed several times by the Air Force, by government officials, been knocked out several times by them as well when he's investigating cases. And he's ended up having to be part of his own cases So he had to remove himself and get another investigator because now he's implied in other people's cases. Sure. So there are people that are aware of what's going on, and they're aware of the recurring abductees, and there's an interest in it for them as well. And, you know, I've heard that a few times, but having somebody tell me their own experience about that, like just being followed, and like how do they know? Like, you were on the phone for 5 minutes. How do they know where you're at? Missing time after these experiences with these people, shots in the arms, just the weirdest, craziest stuff. So he's got quite a story to tell. I think there's some people that are more than interested in that phenomenon, more so than just us peasants doing, you know, our investigation. Where I think there's an actual group behind this. That's, you know.
Yeah, man, I think you're 100% right on that. One thing, make sure you throw that link up on the site for us so we can check that out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Two is we are in kind of a wild time. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the stuff coming out in the States, and it's funny that it's coming out now that they're starting to talk about the UFO sightings, and they're starting to kind of hint at it being a legit thing, but it's so far under the radar right now because of everything else going on. But I don't know if you guys have kind of paid attention to that.
It's a perfect timing.
On the verge. Yeah. I think
it's perfect timing.
Some big stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, November. Yeah, it was rumored that November there'd be some sort of bombshell or some sort of new leak. I mean, it's all going to be slow leaks until it pools together into acceptance. I mean, that's the only way to get the population to accept it is to introduce it to them slowly. But even the momentum, like Tucker Carlson having segments on it, or the news taking it more seriously. For the longest time, they would have newscasts and they always make fun of you know, the subject. We believe in green man, but now it's like it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's right? Not a joke. It's, I think people are starting to realize, like, hey, this is can't ignore it. You can't ignore it anymore.
But you laugh at it for, you know, 60, 70 years, but the fact is it's still happening, so it stopped being funny, right? It stopped being, no, it's not that we're mental anymore. It's like it's still there. Now we think that legitimately people are going out of their way to, you know, I don't see it. And it's a normal defense mechanism. If you're going to church or your world's small, I mean, you're just, you know, a 22-year-old who just likes to party and get drunk and UFOs and aliens, that's far off your scope. That comes later, I think. But yeah, we're a population. Us, we're all the same age group, right? We all grew up with Spielberg, right? And Spielberg really opened up our minds to the possibility of E.T., you know, Close Encounters. He did a lot for a generation, the 80s kids, right? So I think we're the people now that are in Senate. We're the people that are in government. And we're the people that are like, yeah, I believe in it. Because whether you've had an experience, you've heard somebody else had one. Maybe your mom, your dad, Uncle Joe, who knows, right? But those stories have been around long enough. And these occurrences don't stop. So they're always floating around. And now we're at the point where, tell us the damn truth. Like, what's
but would you believe it, though? Would you believe it if the government told us some truth?
I think what it's going to be watered down Kool-Aid, right? I don't think it's going to be the whole truth. But even listening to Senator Harry Reid mentioned that, you know, most of it has never seen daylight. What's really interesting in the States is the different departments that are interested in this, because the Department of Energy is highly involved with these landed crafts or these crash crafts. They have very high interest in this. And you wouldn't think that. You think, oh, they're just dealing with hydro dams or whatever. Oh, fuck no. No. Their interest is in this technology. And it's just, that's the problem with the country of the United States, is that it's too compartmentalized. They keep creating these different branches, always giving it a three-letter acronym or something, right? The problem is they don't communicate with each other. They don't share. And hopefully this committee that the Senate put together would fix that. I'm expecting it to, at least because it could go across different things and get different information. Do I think they're going to get the whole truth? No, I think they're going to have to put a lot of pressure on. But the Senate controls the money. right?
Right.
So if the department doesn't play a ball, the Senate goes, no money. So it's unprecedented. It really is. I think I'm excited about it because I think the states have had a few incidences that warrant them to know a little bit more what's going on than other countries. Yeah. Very active location.
Definitely. Yeah, man, it's super exciting. And it's also kind of weird, right? Like, I'm almost where Ryan's like, would you believe them? To me, if they brought this stuff to light, I would start to question it and wonder.
Yeah, again,
go opposite on it, you know? Like, what are you guys really, what's really going on?
Yeah.
But on that note, we'll come right back. We do have to cut to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
We are the ones in the dark. We are the first on the scene. We are the last to leave. We will counsel you. We will comfort you. We will save your life. We are the unsung. We are the underdogs.
Hi there, this is Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio, where together, my friends, we own the night. On our website, spacedoutradio.com, we have a place called the SOR Sightlines Report. All of our investigations and people who inquire are turned over to TESA, the Experiencer Support Association. Ryan Stacy and his crew, what I like about them, they're independent. They're not working for anybody, and they want answers. We want answers for our listeners and people who inquire as well about their experiences. It's a great tandem, and we love being teamed up with TESA. If you haven't heard of us before, that's okay. We'd love to earn your listening ears. Join us 9:06 Pacific Time, 12:06 a.m. Eastern for 3 hours of live entertainment 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters. I want to let you know that Ryan Stacy, he has created the Experiencer Support Association, TESA. You can check them out at www.tesacan.org. Now, they investigate paranormal, UFO, and provide support to experiencers. You can check them out at, like I said, www.tesacan.org and see for yourself if they're really Ghostbusters. I can tell you this, they are a non-profit organization. So good luck, have fun, and keep on busting.
Have you ever wondered if there were others just like you? People with extraordinary abilities and unique intuitions. People who experience unusual and paranormal events. People who have more questions and answers. You are not alone. Experiencers Anonymous. visit tessacan.org.
Yes.
And we're back. I always forget about Ernie. Always forget about Ernie.
Well, how come? That's like the
that
only
is so thing.
Cool. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
I was like, what?
First, I just want to say before we get into everything, shout out to everybody commenting. Thank you so much. I just read all that because for some reason I can't read it now. So thank you for all the comments. It's awesome.
Everybody is chatty, which is good.
Yeah, I love it. Keep it up, guys. Thank you. Let's get right back into it, Jay. I love your experiences and your enthusiasm for all this. You said you got in with MUFON this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of curious as to your experience with MUFON, how you decided to get on board. I mean, obviously, like you said, you just wanted to do something. And I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I'll make this a two-part question. We'll get into it after that because I'm sure Ryan can okay, Ryan on the hot seat right after. But yeah, let me hear your thoughts on this.
Me first.
Yeah.
My experience has been good. MUFON I've heard about for quite some time. I mean, they've always been on my radar. And if you're a new investigator or you're wanting to break out into investigative work, it's hard to get cases if you don't know about them, right? So it's best to join an organization that could allocate these cases to you. And then you can investigate them and gives you work. But also you're working with experienced investigators. My experience has been great. I think the leadership so far has been really good. The education, the constant contacts, the help if I need it. I mean, it's like that. I believe Jason Kerrigan was trained by Ryan, actually. So he's very thorough. He's like Ryan. He's like nuts and bolts. And it's – oh, by the way, Jason says hi, Ryan. But the concept is really doing good investigative work and making sure you got your notes. And how did you come to that conclusion, right? Completing the forms properly. And then if somebody has to go back in, they look at your work and then your reputation gets good because your notes are good. Your work has been good. I'm not going to lie to you. This last month, I've been slacking. I haven't been looking up my cases, just dealing with other stuff. But also that freedom of saying, okay, well, they give you up to 3 months to just look into the case and try to come out with a conclusion, which is good because you wouldn't want that pressure if you're working a, you know, 9-to-5 job, you have kids, I'm a dad, you know, I have other things to do. So I think that organization was good because they'll ease you into it and then become a pro like, you know, Ryan, like you could just plow through those cases very fast when you gain that experience. So that was my start. I mean, you have to start somewhere right. And starting with a group that can at least get your back and get you moving. That's regardless of the organization. If you could join an organization that can really be there and support you as an investigator, part of the team, that's my recommendation. Definitely. If you want to break out into this. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Because I know MUFON was like the only thing that I'd heard of growing up, too. And I don't know if it's just where you were located or if things have changed since. I mean, it was years since I looked into MUFON. But that's cool to hear. So thank you, Jason. Ryan, you were with MUFON for 5 years?
More than that one. Oh, 5-year tour. I sure did. I put in my time for sure. So, like, it's interesting the way you set it up, too, because, like, looking back on it now, I wouldn't be, and I appreciate all the things you're saying about me and my work. I mean, I do work hard, and it's nice to hear that, but, I mean, like, we all have to work together, and we all have to weigh in and try to solve this puzzle together, because it's the only way we're going to get diversity, no matter what group we belong to. For me, my journey has always been difficult because I'm a licensed private investigator. And when I started with MUFON, I was already an investigator. So I had approached that as a hobby and then later acquired the skills and all this other stuff. And then for me, MUFON has always been a basic level. For me, being already an experienced investigator. So now looking back on things with Tessa and how things have developed, all the negative aside, Tessa is actually, we're creating what's called the Interstellar Academy of Ufology and Paranormal Studies, with the concept of MUFON's field investigating training being the basic level of training. Not to say that it's bad, but what we're trying to do is we're going to create enhanced courses that could be additional.
A comprehensive course. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So additional training that could assist field investigators like yourselves in sharpening your tools to become better investigators in general. And the idea is to have it available to anyone, no matter what organization you belong to, because it doesn't really matter. It's just a brand. At the end of the day, it's you who makes the contact with the experiencers. It's you who does the work. It's you who's putting boots on the ground. And just like your podcast, right? You know, we want to kind of create, I guess, the UFO paranormal version of a masterclass to teach each other, teach people new skills. Myself, I'm working on a on an undercover private, like, sleuthing, like, dig into the core kind of masterclass course, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Well, definitely sign me up. Definitely sign me up. I'm in.
I got to make it first. So I guess my endorsement, though, is still you can still sign up for MUFON. MUFON is a very good platform to start, get your feet wet, and get introduced to the investigating phenomenon.
Oh yeah, and it's not like you're stuck there either. MUFON is an organization; people come and go all the time. Mm-hmm. It's had some bad apples. It's had some good apples. The main thing is a reputation as a whole, as an organization. Yeah. But keep in mind that every country that it operates in has a separate branch. Like the Canadian has a Canadian chapter. We answer to or give the cases to the states, but we operate differently. We have maybe different training. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know that. And it's not like your career can only be with MUFON. I mean, if you decide to, you know, join a more comprehensive course and you decide, you know, I'm going to go at it alone, I have enough material to do so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Ryan was saying, it's a great starting point. You mm-hmm. got to get the basic trainings in. You got to get at least a basic concept of what this is going to entail. It's all volunteer work. You're not going to be paid for it. And you know what I realized, Ryan? I'm not a big fan of working on a computer. Like, I don't like investigating,
no.
You know, like processing the images and stuff like that through the different systems or the flight radar. I am not a big fan of that. I'd rather be out there.
There's better software out there. MUFON doesn't know about it, though.
Oh, well, definitely, if you know about it, definitely let me know. I'll let the listeners of the podcast know, too, because that's...
When the course is out, we got, you know...
It'll be comprehensive. It'll be in there. So there you go. We'll promote it on the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll promote it on the show.
But no, that's good. No, that's very good. And what I was going to say is, like, a personal goal, once I'm able to establish the MUFON Canada Tessa bridge, I mean, like, you, us talking about it for the first time, this is something that should, like, probably never would have happened in a million years based on the way that I had exited MUFON. Mm-hmm. But we're now at a point where if your fellow MUFON mates are listening to this, you know, there's that, now we're having conversation about the possibility of working together. And a goal, once this curriculum is creative and it is, perceived or at least viewed by field investigators like yourselves as comprehensive or as an additional course, extracurriculum, that big ass word I can say, then it may get to the point where Tessa would endorse MUFON as being a legitimate prerequisite, meaning before you take our course, you would have to become a field investigator for MUFON too, and then we'd be working in tandem. Right. With MUFON, but long ways to do that. And there's, as you started with at the beginning, there's ego that needs to be solidified at some point. But
yeah, humbled is what we need to be. And I think that's anybody, just as a person, you need to be humbled and become an investigator. If anything, you're just, you got to stay neutral. And I understand there's disagreements within the community and, you know, it comes and goes. But it's just about how we act as a person. How do we continue? Because, you know, reputation is a big thing in this, not when say industry, it's not an industry, no money to be made. But, you know, yeah. Reputation is everything. And the thing is, you can have a great reputation and then slip, have a bad year, and all of a sudden your reputation is shot. Nobody, you know, your credibility goes out the window, and that's a problem. That's a problem that we all face, right? And yeah. It can happen to any of us. Like, I could easily be misled down a path of, you know, a case I think is solid, but it's not.
Focus on the work. I don't care about my credit, like about my reputation. I care about my work. So if my work is solid, if my work is accurate in terms of the scope of what it is I'm investigating, and I produce evidence, factual evidence based on what exists, I don't care if my opinion is right or wrong, because I'm not doing an opinion. I don't care if all those other things. What I care about is that the information I presented is accurate. And then everybody can make their own interpretation on said data, because we're never going to agree on the data, but at least we can agree that this data is accurate. And then we can all argue about whether it's a ghost or an alien or Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the data is everything.
Yeah. I do appreciate what you're saying, Jason. I love the that just that concept, and you can tell you're a good guy with a good heart, because there needs to be more of that. Like, you know, if we want to get somewhere with this, we all got to kind of put our heads together and be courteous and accept other people's views and not just shit on everything and put
it's bigger than all of us.
100%. 100%.
And I'm always open and available to you, as well as any other investigator from MUFON, if you guys are stuck on a course or on a case and you want my opinion or give you some suggestions on where to go or where to look. I've always been available to do that. I've just never put it out there, because I didn't think it was it would be appropriate, and I wasn't quite sure if the ego would get in the way with, other people thinking that I'm intruding. But I mean, as the individual who's in there, like anybody who needs help or anyone who needs, has my opinion on work, I mean, like I'm available to all of you guys.
Yeah. Which is really cool. And that's really what I enjoy about the community so far, is that everybody has been available. If I have any questions, they respond right away. And the community, that's great. And because it's bigger scope, I mean, this is beyond any of us. And collectively, we have to look at it, you know, how do we react to things as a species? Like even investigating anything as a whole involves some sort of emotion or trying to detach yourself from it. But I think the organization, Tessa, what you guys got going on, I'm very much, like I said, that is definitely something that I want to join, because I want to work with the experiencers out here on the West Coast. I think there's a lot of them. And I think the concept behind Tessa is good, to have a bigger, broader area, because I know some, like MUFON does have an experiencer channel as well, but they're not as spread out. They don't have as much team. And it's very... it's hard to get in. There's a process you got to go through to do that. And I would be interested in like finding out what your course is all about and the test of stuff. And I would encourage anybody, if you're an investigator, if you are wanting to investigate in your area, people that have had experiences, then this is something that you should think of as well. Not every investigator is going to want to deal with the abduction phenomenon. And I understand that. But if that is an interest to you, and you find, okay, you're not going to really get those cases with whatever organization you're with, then if you know an organization like Tessa exists and you could align yourself with that, learn from them, and then become part of that group, it's another thing. It's part of your work. It's part of your investigative stuff. You're not stuck at just one form of investigation. You can actually branch out. That's the liberty that we have as investigators, right?
I super appreciate that endorsement, but like the point of this podcast was to promote you.
No, but you know what? Credit given where credit is due. You know, you guys are doing good. You're out there. You got, you know, fans. You're approaching the subject the way it should be approached, which, you know, absolute seriousness and the severity of it. I think we're at the bottom of the totem pole.
I totally love your mindset. We're totally vibing. We're totally like Tessa. The concept of Tessa is anybody and everybody. Unfortunately, there is a conflict of interest because of the way that MUFON Canada runs and the way that they're operating. So if you really want to be a part of Tessa, A, you would have to quit MUFON, which I don't want you doing, or B, try to talk to Mr. Palachek to find a way that we could possibly affiliate and work together. Because once it's solidified and it's done, because there's the transfer of information, there's the protection of the data. I mean, even though you guys are MUFON Canada, you're still associated to MUFON and all those conspiracies and crap that goes on in the United States.
Yeah.
Which I was also subjected to those things. And the best, to be completely honest, all the opportunities that I ever got was after I left MUFON, because that name wasn't associated with me. So there's things, but that doesn't mean that MUFON is bad. It's just, I would really like to have somebody represent MUFON and be a part of Tessa, because it doesn't really matter what organization you're a part of. What we do is we promote the individual. So we would promote you as the investigator, Jason. How do you say your last name? Is it Guillemette?
Guillemette.
Guillemette. Guillemette.
Yeah.
So Guillemette. It's not French.
What's that?
It's not French.
I figured it'd be like a Guillemette.
Yeah, well, guillotine comes from my family. The profession of the guillemets back in France was torturers, professional torturers and executioners for the King of France in Normandy. And the guillotine was came from the guillemet sort of profession. So, yeah.
Wow. My family picked barley and made beer.
Oh, nice. You're where they went after work. Yeah.
So, sorry, just totally lost track there. But like, again, we would just wanted to promote you, but then through you, your association with MUFON Canada would follow. As an example, we have Alex Mistretta, who used to be the director of investigations for MUFON Los Angeles. You know, so we all there's nothing wrong with being a part of MUFON. The issue is the fact that you're active right now. And I know that the way that they operate, they would have an issue with you working with us more than we would have an issue of you working with us. So that's your homework, is you figure out a way and you advocate, you set the example. And you connect this bridge that, you know, I've been actively trying to do. And as soon as that bridge is connected, I'll shake your hand and I'll bang you on, boy. We're on a live podcast. You kind of can't go undercover now, but it's
going to go Liam Neeson. I understand that. And the thing is, the organization as a whole, there's a whole history as well. Like, I mean, they work with Bigelow for a long time. And that was sort of conspicuous at best. I think Bigelow wasn't sharing anything with them. They shared it, but they were being paid. There's been a history. They've been around a long time. And if an organization's been around a long time, and I'm not saying that they're the end all be all by any means. It's just the organization I decide to start my investigative work with. And really, you know, the idea too of the podcast is that I don't, you know, I talk about MUFON, but I don't tell the investigators out there or the novices investigator out there that they should. It's join whatever you want to join or investigate on your own, right? If you have the tools at your disposal, it's no different. You can research how to do this stuff. And if you hear from the experts, you know, we had Chuck Zukowski, the cattle mutilation expert, you know, talk about the process, like what should you do when you approach a cow and all that. And just those little things, just sharing that information and putting aside the egos of either the individuals or an organization is very important. I see myself, yes, I'm part of MUFON, but I'm not MUFON. I'm an individual. I'm a person. And my viewpoints on this is that there needs to be a lot more coalition, a lot more information sharing, and cross platforms. You know, you guys decide to focus on the abductee phenomenon. Somebody else might specialize in the landing aspect or the cattle mutilation. Mm-hmm. There's so many different branches you can specialize in. Mm-hmm. But if we have cross communication, let's say that I'm a cattle mutilation expert, but I'm dealing with an abductee now that was also taken the same night as her dog was mutilated, then I would need to have a channel. I would need to have somebody to talk to. And being able to contact, let's say, an organization like Tessa or somebody else and be able to talk to somebody, have somebody out on the field with me, mm-hmm. That would make us grow knowledge-wise a lot faster than being, you know, compartmentalizing this information, saying that it's only for me, I'm not going to share, don't talk to this person. And ego's got to be put aside here. This is beyond humans, you know, it's beyond our egos as a species, for sure.
No, I agree. Okay.
Yeah, man. I just want to say, since we're getting close to the hour, so so I don't miss it, I just want to commend you for everything you're doing, man. It's awesome. I love where your head's at, and just keep doing what you're doing. Excited to hear the podcast, and put that link up wherever you can for us. And
definitely, yeah.
Looking forward to checking that out.
I'm just gonna type it in the comments. So it's UAP Studies. Podcast, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty much available on every platform now. I think it's even on Amazon now, Amazon Podcast. So it's okay. Episode 20 is about to drop, which I can't believe I already got to 20 this fast. It goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes fast. Oh, 20 experts.
What's that?
Yeah, 20 experts.
20 episodes so far. The first three episodes were rough because, you know, you're trying to find your podcast voice. And I mean, if I was to listen to it now, I'd probably cringe. My toes would curl right out of embarrassment. But yeah, it's the fact that I got to, you know, that I kept consistent since I started this is pretty cool. I mean, and I get to meet guys like yourselves and women that are in the field. I mean, I would never have this opportunity otherwise, right? Or at least it'd be harder, but I'm more of a social person. As you can tell, I don't shut up. So talking to people is, for me, the best format. I'm more of a people person that way, especially when it comes down to this subject.
Okay. Awesome, man.
Right on, man. Cool. That's great.
Yeah. Sorry, it's an absolute pleasure having you, man. And thank you again, and keep up what you're doing. We'll definitely have you back, and we'll keep sharing information with each other, man.
Awesome.
So before we go, we got a couple updates for the live version, but also what we're going to do is the three of us are going to hop back into another chat. And after we sign off here, we're going to talk for 10 to 15 more minutes on another topic exclusive for our Patreon members. So if you're not a Patreon member, we'll put in the thingamajigger
technical term,
a legal term. In the comments, so then you can subscribe and contribute to the cause. All proceeds go back to funding all the resources that we put into doing the investigations and whatnot as we do. But we're going to chat about a special topic afterwards. And Jamie, you need to plug Saturday. What's happening Saturday?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Saturday is episode. Oh man, where are we at? What day is it? I can't keep track of the date. It's episode 8. Yes, episode 8 of Haunted Huronia. We're releasing every episode on YouTube as we go, leading up to Halloween, which episode X of Haunted Huronia, never before seen episode with Mr. Ryan Stacey, will be dropping live. These will be coming out at 10 o'clock. You can catch up on YouTube, all the Haunted Huronia episodes up until 7 are there, and 8 will be out on Saturday. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's exactly what I was talking about. Haunted Huronia, right? So I'll put that in the comments. Elle was asking, Jason, do you have a YouTube channel?
I do. I don't upload quite often because I find it tedious. I'm not very good at YouTube. I find podcasts are a lot faster to upload. But I do have a channel as well. I forgot it, so I'll have to add it to the links later. I don't use it. I think I put maybe two videos up at most. Okay. So I should get on that. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's something Tesla can help you with. You know, maybe we can get you on our YouTube channel. And we also have a podcast network too. We could also duplicate your podcast too, since it's like it's well-rounded for everybody.
Nice.
Jamie, what happened to you?
Sorry, my phone just about died, you know, technology stuff. But we got through the episode, so that was good.
Yeah, that's true.
He got taken.
So if you guys aren't going to join Patreon yet, you want to join for the 28th, because I'm going to have I'm brought back Uncharted Case Files, and I'm actually going to debate flat Earth versus round Earth, and it's going to be very controversial, and I got all the evidence and all the research and all the comments and stuff, and I got a Bible that apparently supports.
Hold on. What side are you on here?
You gotta join Patreon.
Are you finally admitting you and your? I don't even want to talk about it. Let's get out of here.
I'll admit it. That'll be our topic for the next 10 minutes. So, anyways, thanks for watching. Keep your eyes in the sky. Where's the exit? Here we go. Save the world.
That's it for another journey into the fringe. Thanks for joining us here on Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. Catch us next week and follow us again into the realm of mystery and unknown.
For access to the entire episode and more, head to Patreon and find us under the Experiencer Support Association. You can also follow us on Facebook on our page, the Experiencer Support Association, TESA, and on Instagram, Beyond the Tinfoil Hat.
There you go.
Peace.
Thanks for the love, Dale.